Welcome to a special edition of the Dakota Midday Book Club from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're live at the 12th Annual South Dakota Festival of Books, broadcasting from the lobby of the Holiday Inn City Center in downtown Sioux Falls. Four of the featured authors are with us to discuss their books. We'll talk with best-selling crime novelist Karen Slaughter, whose new book, Cop Town, takes place in 1974 Atlanta as two young female officers try to track down a serial killer targeting cops. We'll also talk with South Dakota writer and Buffalo rancher Dan O'Brien. His latest book, Wild Idea, is an account of efforts to establish a sustainable enterprise raising buffalo. Sonia Manzano also joins the show. Her young adult novel, The Revolution of Evelyn Serrano, is the story of a 14-year-old girl in 1969 Spanish Harlem who's struggling with her Puerto Rican heritage. But first, the hero of Joseph Bruschak's new young adult book, Killer of Enemies, is a teenager who faces struggles of a different sort. Lozen is a 17-year-old Apache girl who has to fight genetically modified monsters, or GMODs, in a post-apocalyptic world. A cataclysmic cloud wiped out technology, and the GMODs are running wild while survivors find safety within the walls of a former penitentiary. Lozen, however, dreams of escape from the compound, but is forced to battle the GMODs by the ones who are holding her mother and brother hostage. Joseph Bruschak is a storyteller, poet, and author of over 100 books. His work often reflects his Abenaki Indian heritage. He lives in the foothills of the Adirondack Mountains. Killer of Enemies is one of his latest books. And Joseph, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
My pleasure.
Is this the first time you've explored a post-apocalyptic world?
Well, I've done science fiction and fantasy before, but this is actually my first venture into that particular territory.
What was it fun to kind of create this world and imagine what things might be like in a future when things maybe don't go so well?
Well, it's interesting the freedom it gives you, but also there are certain constraints, and one is to try to make the unbelievable believable.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about Lozen, she's a strong, smart, very impressive young 17-year-old. Was there a certain inspiration for her?
Well, she's based in part on a historical character, a woman whose name was Lozen, who was a warrior woman of the Chiricahua Apache. In the last campaign against the Apache, she was known as the person who could, through a very interesting kind of ability, recognize where enemies were and lead people out of danger. She took part in raids against the Americans and was generally regarded as a very heroic figure.
So your character of Lozen has a lot of these same characteristics then?
She has those characteristics, as well as I've based a bit of it on traditional Apache or Tene traditional mythology or traditions, where in the old times two brothers who were twins, Killer of Enemies and Child Born of Water, were destroying the monsters at the beginning time that threatened human beings. And some of the monsters in my story are parallel to those ancient beings in the first times.
Now, where did these monsters come from, these genetically modified creatures?
Well, I've imagined a world where I've taken present day and extrapolated what might happen in the future. That is, let's say the division between the rich and poor becomes so great that a very small number of people who are themselves genetically and electronically modified are ruling the world. And for their pleasure, in their bored existence, they created these creatures by putting together various parts of different animals, past and present, to produce monsters that were, until the electricity disappeared, confined, but now have been released on the world.
So the ones were the ones that created these monsters, and they were sort of their pets, and now the ones, there's four of them that you have in the book. You call them the ones, and they're the formerly rich people who are more or less in control of this little world, which was a former penitentiary.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's imagine there's a stratification among the rich, the super rich, and the super, super rich, and these folks who survived were slightly modified to the point they've been mutilated by the loss of the electrical components in their body, but they're still more in control than the rest of the proletariat are.
So how does Lozen fit into this world then? The ones kind of use her to go out and kill these monsters because she has abilities and powers that others don't.
She does. And, you know, there's one thing this harkens back to. I'm a long-time fan of science fiction and fantasy. You ever notice how in Star Trek and Alien and all the other films and series, it's always the ethnic characters who die first and go down on the planet, you know, the black guy or the Asian guy is going to go first.
People in the red shirts that go
exactly
first.
Yeah, and I believe in a future where Indians are not just part of the past and the present, but every foreseeable future where human beings prevail. So that's one reason why Lozen is my character. She is symbolic of the ability of Native people on this continent to survive all kinds of terrible experiences and still prevail. And the fact that she herself has these characteristics of courage, strength, and sort of these preternatural abilities makes her suited for playing this role.
Do you see her, this is a book for young adults, do you see her as something of a role model for young women, not only young Native American women, but all, you know, all teenagers, maybe even in males as well?
Well, I believe in strong female characters. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for us to recognize the strength of women, and that's recognized consistently within American Indian cultures, that women are often our leaders, often choose our leaders, and certainly are the centers of our families and our communities. So Lozen herself is a role model, but also, to me, she's a symbolic or indicative of the power of women within American Indian culture in general.
For this world, you know, you talk about the post-apocalyptic world, but it almost sounds like the world before the cloud came, mm-hmm. that world wasn't so great either.
No, exactly. It's like the world before and the world that came after it are parallel, that humanity, again, has to regain its position in the balance that existed before all the imbalance that began not just in this novel, but that in a sense you can see in our culture today, where there's this great division between those who have almost nothing and those who have almost everything. And I've imagined what it would be if it were taken to the ridiculous extreme that it is in this story.
Taking it to the ridiculous extreme, again, allowing you to just let your imagination run wild.
Exactly. And actually, I've just finished a sequel or a prequel to this. It takes place in South Dakota, called Rose Eagle, and it has a Lakota woman as the heroine. It takes place a few years before Lozen's story, right after the collapse of civilization, and it's going to be available as a free digital download from Two Books, who are the publishers of this book. It's actually being reviewed right now by some Lakota friends, because whenever I write a book like this, it's not about my own Abenaki Indian culture, which mm-hmm. is my ethnic background. I always make sure that people who are from that particular culture see it before it's ever published, advise me on it. For example, I wrote a novel called Geronimo, which was my advisor from Michael Darrow, who's a primary historian for the Apache Nation, and Harry Mithlow, who's a descendant of Geronimo's band. And that work on that book led into this book, which is a future with the same group of people, the Chiricahua Apache.
So it sounds like whatever you're writing leads to something else, that there's always something that comes next.
It's happened. Like I did an assignment for National Geographic about the Cherokees, and that led to three books of my own that weren't part of National Geographic.
Now, this is a book with young adult audiences in mind. As an author who's, like myself, a few years removed from the young adult audience, how do you, you know, are there certain challenges to writing books like that for that audience and you know, keeping in mind a younger reader?
Well, I have children and grandchildren. Plus, I constantly go to schools, mm-hmm. and I find that as a visitor to schools, I was in the Axtell School today, just this morning, that I'm always learning things from the teenagers and those below the teenage years who have questions, who have opinions, and who engage in conversation with me. I'm learning as much as they are when I make these school visits.
Do you find that you have a special relationship with your readers?
I do. I think that when you're a writer, you become a part of their lives, even if they've never met you. And so you do have a responsibility to them to sort of live up to what those characters produce for them. So I try not to be flip or insincere. And even if I'm doing something that's in a fantasy world, I want to be real, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because I imagine someone reading Killer of Enemies, you know, relate closely with Lozen, and she's very real to them.
Oh, yes. I actually got an angry letter once from one of my readers because I had written a novel and I hadn't written a sequel to it yet. I said, what's happening? What's going to happen next?
So is that kind of scary sometimes that, you know, that you have that close relationship with readers and they depend on you to a certain extent?
Well, I find it inspiring. I think it's not a scary thing, but I think it is a question of accepting your responsibility as an author. Plus, as a writer, I'm so fortunate, because I'm doing what I love, and people like what I'm doing, and I get paid for it.
Yeah. Now, since you've been here at the Festival of Books, you've been you were in Brookings yesterday talking about writing for you know, this book and meeting with younger authors. How important is it for you to get out to things like this, events like this?
Well, not every author likes to be in contact intimately with their public, but I do. I find that the feedback I get is really inspiring, and I also just am a person who likes people and enjoys that kind of interaction.
Well, Joseph Brushak, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, and we look forward to the book that takes place in South Dakota.
Well, thank you. Ulipam Kanini Doba, my friend, travel well.